sangue.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanicta, the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Hawkeye Resilience Advisors, a full-service security, risk, and crisis management company helping local organizations be prepared before, during, and after crisis strike. Hawkeye Resilience helps people make plans before something goes wrong. Business resilience promotes community resilience. For more information, visit HawkeyeResilience.com or call 518-573-9183.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Johnny Sturman in Lexington, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Annie Reynolds. You're listening to Long Pause, an invitation to slow down into interstitial realms through sound. Each month's show will explore a different sonic theme, which opens up something unseen, something in between. In today's show, we'll explore silence through sound. You'll hear some music composed around and with silence. We'll hear some audio documentary that introduces silence as another body in human relationships. I'll be reading, and all throughout, we'll think about the ways our environments, the built and so-called natural, hold silence for us. Enjoy. Silence is the firstborn of the basic phenomena. It envelops the other basic phenomena, love, loyalty, and death. And there's more silence than speech in them, more of the invisible than the visible. There is also more silence in one person than can be used in a single human life. That is why every human utterance is surrounded by a mystery. The silence in a person stretches out beyond the single human life. In this silence, we are connected with past and future. John Cage famously composed a score for piano called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, which instructs the musician to sit before the piano in silence for the duration of the piece. And you just heard Niels Fromm's performance of that score, which interprets silence in a different way. Before that, a couple of pieces from composers of the Vondelweiser movement, a collective of performers and musicians who came together inspired by Cage and who are interested in sculpting sound from silence. Thank you for tuning in to Long Pause. We're tuning in together today to silence in music and in word. It's been said that when two people converse, silence is a third who listens. I'm going to play an audio documentary made by Joan Schumann in 2000 about the first year of her relationship with her husband, which they shared in complete silence.
he would sit in the corner and he would read, and he was silent, and he was, for all intents and purposes, supposedly a monk. And so I left him alone, and he left me alone. He ignored me, and I didn't speak with him because I figured that's what you do with people who are monks is, you know, talk to them, especially if they're choosing to be silent. I went on for a long time. I'd see him every evening in the front of his kitchen reading in the corner, and I ignored him, and he ignored me.
So, but at least I didn't antagonize
women. But actually, he wasn't ignoring me at all.
I was pretty good, partly because I was silent.
He was very interested in me that whole time.
And also because I just couldn't get involved in something I knew I couldn't finish, you know.
Although there was this very peculiar incident that happened where I was in the farmhouse kitchen.
So, yeah.
I was having a conversation with another person.
My mind
interrupted.
That woman's trouble. I had absolutely nothing to do with her,
which I didn't appreciate.
That was quite
and wrote on his board something like,
easy.
What would you say if I asked you to marry
and
me?
So the first thing I ever remember saying to her, outside of something that might have been strictly
that was literally the first thing he ever said to me,
was, what would you say if I asked you to marry me?
And I thought, this guy is
like,
not only rude, but he's nuts. And I told him so. I got really pissed off at him.
I wanted to see what would happen. She freaked out.
But those were literally the first words.
And so
read from him.
For 3 days or so, she would just not even get close. And she had, her eyes got big like a deer caught in the headlights.
I can say some pretty outrageous things sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed, but that.
I mean, power. Well, that was a prime example there. So, but that's how it started.
He lived on only. He gave me a chalkboard. There was this other, that was the first thing that he ever gave me, was my own silent, chalkboard so that I could do silence, side. Which I did.
And that man, whose name was Byron, he is still silent to this day.
Week,
he never broke silence.
And 1 week
so
a year
must have started
for 14
around
years.
The same time Ohm did, which
and I used his chalkboard.
Late 70s.
My board was gorgeous. It was walnut.
So the meditation
I inlaid
in
some
back was
coral in the back.
Quiet.
It was one of my prized possessions for a long time.
And I had I made a little slate.
It fits in the palm of the hand.
It was maybe like a
3x5
card or something.
So it's maybe 3 inches by 5 inches or something like that.
And I had a little piece of chalk.
Lovely Italian
so
slate
that,
on one side, solid wood on the other side.
Whatever sturdy. Needed to be said could be
and
said.
And you have a little chalk and chalk holder and a little
and
wiper.
So I first did that in 78. Maybe
off.
One day a week every now and then. It was pretty erratic. And then in 1980... I started doing extended periods. Oh, that's the other thing. See, you can say something that's completely matter of fact, but the reader is always going to put their inflection into it.
He had this letter. We met on the road one day, and he had this pre-written letter in his pocket, and he handed me this letter. It said that he was on the threshold of taking his monk's vows, and that he really wanted to have sex one more time, and he had chosen me to
there's
do
a,
this with.
There's a couple of things that instantly happen as soon as you
was
start
I
observing silence.
One,
the first is you become twice as smart.
You know, do it one more time.
Because you think twice before you say anything.
Kind of thing.
That is if you're paying attention, you know.
I thought,
and,
you're crazy.
So there's a lot of stuff
so
that
crazy.
Doesn't get said.
I'm sorry, this doesn't fall into my,
you
know,
think
job
more about
description
what does
here.
Get said, so, you know,
but after that time, that's, we
that's
somehow
and then it actually does
to be
cause
friends.
a detachment from the world.
And so I think after about 9 months... or maybe even a little longer. We actually decided we were going to do that we were going to have this ceremonial offering.
So you don't get into that stuff like, if I'd have said blah, 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 or I could have said blah, 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 blah.
So we did.
I
think we practiced for a while first.
You just don't even.
For the ceremony. And then we had
really,
the
not only do you see through what you're saying,
I mean,
but
really
you also see through
and,
what everybody else
we
is saying.
We did this offering thing. We went, had a little ceremonial dunk in the creek that was by the It got very confusing, as a matter of fact. The confusion of sexual energy, attachment, celibacy, yoga, tantra, all that stuff. But this whole time, he is silent. Absolutely.
You really see how almost all speech is, self-motivated. It's usually like how great I am, or what I know, or what you should be doing, that kind of stuff. And so if you have that focus, the focus is to watch the self, then you see that stuff.
So we started taking trips together.
Everything
we traveled really well together. And usually when we went on these trips, we were both silent. So 1 week a year, we'd go on a trip somewhere like the Southwest, and we'd take our chalkboards, and we would be silent for the whole week.
Everything hinges on the intent. So that's the way it was with me with doing silence. I don't know. Although I'm this kind of person that's, I'm an extremist. I can do one extreme or the other extreme, but the middle road is really difficult. So...
And for his birthday party, he's down.
That word is
pastries. And we're sitting on the lawn. It's his birthday. He has told me he's going to give me a birthday present, but hasn't told me what it is. Out of the blue, when I'm not looking at him, I hear the word.
Actually,
lettuce, but it's
lettuce,
like yeah, that. It was and I don't know where it's coming from. It seems like it's coming from the other side of the fence or something. And so I look around, and then I look at him, and he says
and,
the word lettuce.
We're going to get married. And I thought, well,
and
shoot,
then
you know, we ought
the
to
whole
talk.
Thing, I know exactly what's mind. Going on. He's going to talk
so on my birthday in 83,
to me for his birthday. And his idea is that if we're going to get married, I should hear his voice at least for 1 day. So he's going to talk for 1 day only. And that was the first time I ever talked to him. So we had already known each other, a year.
And then we talked all that day.
And he talked.
And
the
then,
man knows how to talk.
Into the night.
Although it was difficult for him that day to speak because
my whole face
he had
some
and the
bones and
controlling
everything.
His voice
vibrating from the sound,
and it was
and then it was very weird because I
caused his head
I
to
would
vibrate
see something and I
to like the
I'd
point
look
that
behind
was,
me or something it was difficult it. To hear where the sound was coming from, and it sounded like it was coming from behind me or something like that.
The physical differences between being with him when he wasn't talking and being with him when he was talking were profound.
But you notice what a
we could walk and talk at the same
huge
time,
expenditure
which is something
of energy
that we'd
talking,
never been
yes.
able to do before. So we could walk down the street and talk like normal people.
So
we went swimming in the ocean.
We were swimming, which was
and when we went to bed that
to
night,
silent,
he could talk to me in the dark. And I remember trying to keep him up as long as I could because I enjoyed talking with him.
I didn't want me to go to sleep because, then I was going to wake up and go talking.
He talked very philosophically, and he had this delightful southern drawl that I'd never heard before, but I had heard about, which explained the lettuce thing. I do remember we went on this trip that was quite significant because we fought a lot on that trip. It's difficult to fight with somebody that's silent.
And like
when we would have fights,
yeah.
His silence would make me get louder than I ordinarily would.
I used to do that on the phone for no.
You know, the more silent he is,
no.
the louder I get. So it wasn't particularly bringing out the best in me either.
I'd click for yes or something. So.
I got out of control and I grabbed his little chalkboard out of his hand and twisted it and it shattered. And he was terrified. I mean, I don't think anybody had ever displayed raw, violent tendencies. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hadn't done it either. That's why I'm saying it. It just brought out this other side. So I ripped up his chalkboard in my bare
And then sometimes people would be
it,
pissed
so the slate and the,
if they found out
the
that
shattered.
There was nothing wrong with you.
And I mean, they'd be pissed.
A day or two or three, I'm not sure. But I remember coming home to our apartment, walking by the window and looking in and seeing Om inside, and he had shaved. The handlebar mustache and the goatee were gone. And I knew that he would be talking. And that was when he broke his silence officially. And there's no doubt in my mind that he will go back into it sometime in another phase of his life.
But yeah, when I get older, and the worldly stuff is pretty much doesn't matter so much anymore.
Who knows who's going to die first or whatever.
Because I am not going to be a babbling old person.
I'm going to go silent again before I get to that stage. I'm not going to do that.
No, I'll definitely go into silence. I would imagine possibly my mid-60s. I can't imagine it happening.
But I also think that he deserves it. On some level, because he did give up something that was...
He adored doing silence.
That he adored.
But I anticipate it, because it was a great practice. And I loved it. It's great. It for me, it was a wonderful and joyous
sacrificing
practice.
Something
and
like
my
that
sense of humor is much greater when I'm silent.
You know, maybe you do get another chance.
It is now.
When you first start doing silence, in some ways what happens is the inner voices get louder as the outer voice is silenced.
And so there's the light in the eye, there's the smile, and then there's this something
start getting so loud
degenerates. I guess
extremely prominent.
I don't know, it's total speculation, but that energy that
utter silence that I'm talking about has to come
in the body,
both worlds.
So you're
just
beaming
give up
at these people.
And maybe that.
And
maybe
so
that's, really
that's louder than your silence.
When both worlds finally just shut up.
I've spent years and years as a marine biologist trying to sample or understand or survey the marine environment.
There is more silence than language in love. Aphrodite, the goddess of love, came out of the sea of silence. Aphrodite is also the goddess of the moon, which catches the silence of night in the net of the golden threads it lowers to the earth. The words of lovers increase the silence. They only serve to make the silence audible. Only love can increase the silence by speaking. All other phenomena take something from silence. Only love gives of its own self to silence. Here's another audio piece about silence. This one is by Joni Murphy, titled Silence Among Friends. It was originally broadcast by Rob Rosenthal via PRX and Transom.
If you think about it, the leaves grow in silence. Flowers grow in silence. Grass grows in silence. And the stars come out in silence. God made them all and he made us. And I think we were meant to be a little more silent than we are. It's much less stressful.
84-year-old Virginia Phillips is one of the 40 or so people who gather together on Sunday mornings to worship in silence.
God's voice is silent. You don't hear him speak, do you, really? But you can feel the movement in your body and making decisions.
The Quaker Meeting House on Forest Avenue is surrounded by pine trees on two sides. Every Sunday morning, Volvo station wagons and compact Saabs fill its dirt parking lot. The front door opens into a lobby where a greeter stands next to bulletin boards and rows of wooden coat hooks.
It can be quite noisy in the front hall, but if there's nothing that's pressing, I try to get in here early and be one of the early people, because the minute someone sits down in this room and is quiet, meeting has really begun. People file in and they take their place, and my eyes by then are usually closed. But I must admit I'm curious as to who's sitting beside me, who comes in, so I do open them for that.
Worship takes place in the meeting room off to the right of the lobby. It's bright with worn wooden floors and a circle of chairs. Once everyone has settled down, the room yields to silence.
I quiet my body and I quiet my mind and I slow my breathing down.
I don't know how to describe it really. It's, I feel tender about things. I'm feeling empathetic and concerned about friends in the meeting, and family and people that I know.
Some people find it awkward to have to sit in one chair for an hour. And I found ways of dealing with that. We each find our ways of helping the silence, but since the goal is to have it a rich and rewarding spiritual experience that you share with others, it doesn't matter what you do to make it easier for yourself.
I went to a lecture on Friday by Eckhart Tolle, whose new book, The Power of Now, was very profound for me. And he was talking about the silence underneath the noise. And I think that's what we're...
Quakers believe that the divine spirit is within everyone. Since the founding of the Quaker Society of Friends, members have worshipped in silence so that they can better listen for God's message within. Most meetings have no minister. There are clerks who tend to business matters, but no one person is in charge. Rather, anyone attending can stand during meeting and share a message they feel comes from true listening and reflection.
As I was thinking about it, I suddenly found myself inside a tree.
Well, I feel sometimes quite compelled to say something, but I think in the silence, I think it through. I try to make it right to the point.
Usually I'll feel pretty excited in some way. I mean, the pulse, I can feel the change in pulse and blood pressure going on. There have been a couple of times in worship where it's a sense that you're being vibrated by the whole process of what's going through your mind and your emotions. And I think that's where Quakers got the word. I think that was observed in a number of people in meetings in early England. And so the nickname Quakers, these people who trembled, they were so intensely involved in a sense of God's presence and the power that was working in them.
I myself haven't spoken more than 4 or 5 times in my whole life. And it's a, I don't know, it's a scary thing. You know, it was a scary thing when I gave my first message.
The rhythm of talking in silence in meeting is really important. To some extent, that rhythm, or what feels like a good rhythm, is individual. If you go and visit, say, Cambridge meeting in Boston, that would be what we would call a popcorn meeting, meaning people, there's lots of messages, and sometimes there's even little silence for people to reflect on those. Other times, you may have a meeting that's totally silent.
It is a short time, really. Sometimes I'm so deep in meditation and they're shaking hands and it's all over and I think, huh. Or I was about to speak and it's over.
And then the person who's in charge that day, one of the co-clerks usually, shakes hands and then immediately the energy changes. Even though my eyes are closed, I can tell when the first shaking of hands has happened because there's an electricity in the room. And then you shake hands with the people on either side of you. And then at Rise of Meeting, there are announcements.
Good morning, friends.
I just feel fuller. I feel more confident, more joyful. If there are shadows in my life, they're much more balanced in my life than they were before coming to meeting.
It just feels logical to me that, you know, why wouldn't I have silence?
To me, it's a part of health, I guess. If I weren't doing it, I wouldn't feel whole.
I have some of the problems of old age. I have a hard time getting up at home, and after meeting, I don't. I think that God is working within the human body. I have an aunt who says she wishes I had some religion because I just sit and do nothing. And I say to her, it would never have lasted 300 years if we sat and did nothing.
Before Western composers settled on a way to notate pauses in music, the length of a rest was often dictated by the acoustics of a space. When monks faced each other to chant in a chapel, the length of their pauses would be determined by the amount of time it took for the last phrase to stop resonating. They made sound inside a reservoir of silence. Just as ivy grows around a wall for centuries, so the cathedrals have grown around the silence. They're built around the silence as a substance, so that it is as though the cathedral, by the very fact of its existence, were producing walls of silence, cities of silence, giving birth to them as if it were a huge pregnant animal. The cathedrals stand like enormous reservoirs. There is no word inside them. The word becomes music and song over the depths of an even greater silence. The cathedrals have become museums of silence, but they are still interrelated, cathedral with cathedral, silence with silence. They stand like ichthyosauri of silence, no longer understood by anyone. A bird sits on the edge of the roof, and the notes of its song are like a knocking on the wall of silence, asking to come in.
Thank you.
that was Palestrina's Sicut Cervus, performed in the Ely Cathedral in England. Right now, you're hearing the sound of 1 square inch of silence. This square inch is represented by a small stone on the floor of the Ho Rainforest in Washington State. It's considered to be the least noise-polluted site in the continental U.S. Silence was there first, before things. It is as though the forest grew up slowly after it. The branches of the trees are like dark lines that have followed the movements of the silence. The leaves thickly cover the branches, as if the silence wanted to conceal itself. A bird sings in the forest. That is not a sound directed against the silence. It is the bright glance falling from the eye of silence itself onto the forest. The forest grows even larger, because the silence grows even greater. The leaves must fall more thickly and the birds sing more loudly. Leave you today with the first few minutes of a piece from a contemporary composer I love, Callie Malone. Her compositions sound like duets with silence to me. Thank you for listening to Long Pause this morning.